Bless God, it's good to have everyone on this Palm Sunday. As we enter into a week-long celebration for the children of God, as we enter into an Easter season. And you know, it's a shame, but we as God's people have the ability to celebrate a risen Christ each and every day simply because He lives. He lives. I know He lives because He lives within my heart today. Amen. And we're so thankful that you can be a witness to our message today. And I want to, if you will, turn with me to John chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 11 and 12, and then we won't go to the Lord in prayer. As we think about Jerusalem, a city, and we could often, in your minds today, we could put Hayesville, North Carolina in that. And we're going to be studying today and preaching about how that Jesus entered into Jerusalem one day, and how that as He came in Jerusalem, how that He rode in as a conquering king on a colt that had never been ridden, and how that at one point over there, and we'll be taking our message from this, He and all the grandeur that was happening, people throwing their clothes down and making a way for Him, and palms being laid in the way, and people waving palms and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, glory in the highest." And it stopped as He looked at Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and He wept. And that's our message today. As He looks at Hayesville, North Carolina, as He looks at Boston Memorial Church, as He looks at the United States of America. And we're going to do a comparable message to Jerusalem today. Let's all stand as we read God's Word. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your blessed word today. We thank You for our message. And Father, we just pray that You'd worm Your way in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls today. And Father, that we too can lift our hands up high and admonish You as Hosanna today. And Father, I know that there's many today who do not profess You, do not they restrain their hearts. But Father, we pray that they might receive You by the grace of God today. Father, let this be a changing moment for those that are sin-sick today, those who have the burden. Father, we pray that they'd lay their burden down. And Father, we just ask that You'd go and be with us. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. You know, when we think about Jerusalem, and I want to realize today that there's no more special place in the whole wide world than the city of Jerusalem over there. How that God had used that over there, and how that it is the key to prophecy over there, and how that, you know, all these things, and God has a special place for Jerusalem. I want you to realize that God gave them a magnificent temple over there. And the Bible says that there was nothing like it on the face of the earth. The Bible says that the grandeur of it was uncomparable to anything that man had ever saw. And we know that in 70 AD over there, that by the Roman Emperor Titus over there, that at the siege of Jerusalem over there, that the Bible says that there was probably in the millions of Jews that were killed in the siege of Jerusalem over there, and how that it was destroyed utterly to the point that there was not one stone upon another. God gave them a beautiful temple over there. God gave them all the Old Testament. They had all the known scripture. And God gave them a priesthood. They had the tribes of Levite. You know, the Jews listened to the priest interpretations of the law and not the law itself. They listened to the interpretations of the priest and not the law itself. You know, God gave us a beautiful place here in Hazel, North Carolina. Amen. Amen. I tell you, if I didn't live here, I'd be moving. Amen. I love Hazel, North Carolina. And God has richly gave us wonderful beauty and all these things. We live in a county where you can almost see one church steeple to the next. Freedom of the Word of God. God gave us the most blessed gift that known unto man, contained in 66 books. Amen. Spoken of God, written by the finger of God, available to every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. So what could be wrong in a place like this? Well, that's the way Jerusalem felt. Remember, the Jews listened to the priest's interpretation of the law and not the law itself. You know, we're listening to society's interpretation of the law. Amen? And not the law itself. You know, we're realizing today that as we realize that this was a falling of the city of Jerusalem. Bible, if you will, turn with us to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to be reading verses 47 through 51. Not only was Jerusalem that city that had everything, Jerusalem was a city that slew the prophets that God sent to them for their own repentance. I'm thinking about the preachers I've seen slew in Clay County. Amen. When I say slew, run off, run down, run over, quit the ministry. The Bible's going to read in Luke chapter 11, verses 47 through 51. It's going to read this. It said, "Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly they bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and ye built their sepulchres. Therefore saith unto the wisdom of God, I will send these prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall be slain and persecuted, that the blood of the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Jerusalem slew the prophets that God sent to call them to repentance. And God laid all the blood." Jesus said, with this being spoken, Jesus laid the blood of the slain prophets at their doorstep today. He's saying, Jerusalem, you've got to take responsibility for what you've done. Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, you've got to take responsibility for what your fathers have done. You know, when I think about that, and let's bring it back to Clay County, and I think about what it is over there, you better be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. As we look over there, and it's a shame what's happening to downtown Hazeville, but you can agree or disagree. They've been there, and it won't bother me because they've been disagreeing with me all my life. I take rejection well. But I think about some things that we've killed off in Clay County that we used to hold dear. I do. I remember a time over there when nobody had to lock the door. You remember that? Then they should tell you, we went 15 years and never had a door key for our house. Couldn't have locked it if we'd have wanted to. Never thought about needing over there. Why is that? Because we lost something in Clay County. We killed something in Clay County. Remember, time used to just leave your churches unlocked. In case somebody needed to go in, or somebody just might need to be walking down the road and need to come in and pray, might need to get out of the rain like today. Now we've got security systems. We've got armed guards. We've got folks over there. We killed something in Clay County. I remember a time when the man of God was honored. I remember a time over there where the people of God were held. But now you're ridiculed. You preach Jesus, you're a bigot. You preach Jesus, you're a racist. You preach Jesus over there. And they want to tie it all in. Just as they killed the prophets, just as they killed and the Bible said that not only did they kill them, then they built sepulchres of monuments to them. You talk about a bunch of hypocrites. We find them in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem closed their eyes to a divine light. Jesus had, Jerusalem had more light than any other city that ever, David wrote the Psalms while at Jerusalem. God himself dwelt in the temple at Jerusalem. Jesus, the master teacher, was visiting there. Jesus said these words, "I am the light of the world." And it was spoken at Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, I've said all this to say this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read the whole account, so hold on to your hat. And when he had thus spoken, I'm starting with verse 21. And when he had thus spoken, he went before them and ascended up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that there was night in Bethany and Bethsaida and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives. He sent two disciples, saying, "Go into a village over against you, and that which you are entering, you shall find a colt tied, wherein you have never man set. Loose him and bring him thither. And if a man ask you, why do you loose him? You say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him." And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner therefore said unto them, "Why loose ye the colt?" And they said, "The Lord hath need of him." And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when they had come nigh, even now on the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God in the loud voice and all the mighty works that were seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said and answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Verse 41. And when he had come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. What do you think the reaction in heaven is today when Jesus looks at Hazel, North Carolina? Does it break his heart? Does it break his heart? You know, when we have, and I'll be honest with you, and the sin of America, I believe, is a sin of negotiation. Amen. The sin of acceptance. Listen, Bible's as plainly said to you and I that we are separated people. The Bible says that he called us out from among them to live a separated life. I'm afraid that we have negotiated our position away. Amen. See, the Bible's not written in gray. It is black and white. The Bible over there is not written in gray area. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that it's not even open to private interpretation. The Bible speaks for itself. And if you have any trouble in the Bible speaking for itself, he said, if I go away, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, which also means I'm going to send you a teacher that you may know the truth in all ways. God said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Alpha, the Omega. In other words, I'm everything from A to Z and every letter in between. But Jerusalem had closed her eyes to a divine light. You know, you've been reading papers over there and they're talking about what's happening in downtown Hazel. Where were all these people 9 years ago? People, I said, well, ain't you going to do anything? I said, I done my part. But there's still a battle to be fought. Just because that the law said it was right and just because it was passed does not still make it right. Amen. Amen. So I want you to realize today that Jerusalem closed her eyes against the divine light. And no wonder can you imagine what Jesus had on his mind that day as he rode in that city over there, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as he looked over there, and no doubt as he came down the road from Bethany over there, and he looked over there and probably saw an obscure hill over there called Calvary, and he probably saw an obscure place over there that is known as the skull. And he could see himself as he died for the sins of the world. But as he looked upon that city, the Bible says he wept. He wept today. And I think that as he looks upon our lives today and realizing that as we find over there that we too have slown the prophets and built a sepulcher sometimes. You know, a lot of times we'll have big grand churches, we'll have big grand this, we'll have big grand that, and it's a tribute to a thrice holy God. It's a tribute to the things of God over there, and God's word is not spoken within it. Well, we killed the prophet and built the sepulcher. Amen. Do you know most churches are not built in God's honor, but they're built in man's honor? Amen. Now, did you know that most things that we memorialize God in, God ain't got nothing to do with? See, we're doing the same thing that was happening to Jerusalem. And here we live in the Bible Belt, but many things in Western North Carolina we're referred to as the buckle. of the Bible Belt. In other words, it's a thing that holds things together. That's how important it is to live in Western North Carolina. You're not only in the Bible Belt, but you're the buckle of the Bible Belt. If Haysville, North Carolina is a buckle of the Bible Belt, God help the britches it's holding up. Amen? If Haysville, North Carolina is the buckle of the Bible Belt, somebody's going to lose their britches one day. Amen? Somebody asked me one time, said, you know why firemen wear suspenders? Why, sure they do, to hold their britches up. That's how important Haysville, North Carolina is today. That's how important Jerusalem was, because everything that people believe, everything in the Word of God, everything that people had known at that time centered around Jerusalem. And here we are, the Bible Belt buckle. That's a great responsibility, is it not? That's a great responsibility. And you think about the divine power that God has given us in Western North Carolina. Per capita, I now say that there's another place in the world that has produced greater preachers, greater singers, greater gospel people than right here in Western North Carolina per capita. God's blessed us so richly. God has given us a rich heritage. God has done all these things. But yet we reject the divine light that God has given us. Shame on us. Jerusalem rejected the many invitations of Christ. And I'm reading verses 41 through 44. And when he came near, he beheld a city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known even at least in that day the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from their eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass round about and keep thee even on every side, and shall lay aside even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and thou shalt not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And once again, that happened in 70 AD by the Roman Emperor Titus at the siege of Jerusalem. It was utterly destroyed except for three towers over there that were built by the Romans, and they left them over there as a mockery to the Jewish people to never, ever raise a hand against the Roman Empire again. In that siege that took place, great Bible historian Josephus was one of the captives in that siege. And he writes in his writings. But not to bore you with any kind of history or anything today, but I want you to realize today that the Bible says that this cannot stand. That's what he told them right there. He said, at your time of your visitation, Jerusalem cannot stand. Now, one of the reasons that Jesus wept that day was that there were many reasons why over there. And I want to tell you that this was a highlight of his ministry when he rode in as a conquering king that day on Palm Sunday. Many of the folks over there, in John's account, said that a lot of them were there because they had witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. They had witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. And I don't know about you, but raising somebody from the dead, that's a big deal. Never been done before. Of course, Jesus was probably, by the way, I bet you when Jesus walked on this earth, I bet the funeral home directors hated him. Because every funeral he went to, somebody got raised up from the dead, you know, out there. And they, so I bet the funeral home directors just hated Jesus in those days because he'd mess up a good funeral. But they had, and they were great crowds, and a lot of people are like folks today. They were there for the wrong reasons. See, they were following Jesus because of the miracles, and they were following Jesus because of all these things over there, and that's all well and good. See, there's a lot of folks today that are following Jesus because it's a cool thing to do. And I hear people say this all the time, I like the family things, or I like the atmosphere, or I like the idea. Well, those are all real good things, but that's not a reason to follow Jesus, amen. The reason that you follow Jesus over there is because you are discipled, amen. You became a disciple of Christ, and how do you become? Well, you got to sign up, amen. You've got to go over there and put your name down and ask Jesus to come into your heart and write your name in a record book in heaven over there and accept what he done on Calvary's cross, and then you'll become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do you know there's a lot of difference between being a member of a church and being a disciple, amen? You know, we don't teach discipleship much in churches anymore. Do you know that? Hey, we've had a wonderful study here on Wednesday night. If you've missed it, it's been your fault. If you've not been here, I can't bring it back to you. But we've been studying the lives and the profiles of the disciples. You know, they were just ordinary folks, much like you and I, had the same faults, same problems over. But what separated these 12 men to make an ordinary man to extraordinary service? They give it up to follow Jesus. That's all they done. They give up to follow Jesus. There's a lot of folks in the day would do well to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, on this Palm Sunday, let's think about Jesus there as he stopped. And you know, that was a big ticker tape parade for Christ that day, amen? You know, people were waving their palms. You say, if I had a palm, I'd wave. You got two palms right there, wave them. You got all kinds of palms. You were born with palms. And it stopped over there, and he looked at Jerusalem. And he said, Jesus wept. I think he wept because he could see himself. And the humanity in Christ came out over there when he saw himself hung on a cross. And the humanity come out when he saw himself dying for the sins of the world. But I believe that it went further over there because he saw you and I in our Jerusalems today. The shape we would be in. He gives some indication of the many times. You know, the Bible says that often, how often that he would speak and we would have not. You know, in 2 Peter 3:9, I wanted to read that. I would quote it, but I'm afraid I'll miss it. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you want to make, and I don't mean to sound like a politician, I wish more of them would sound more like a preacher, though. If you want to make Hazel, North Carolina great again. You want to make Hazel, North Carolina the place it needs to be again. And you want to make Hazel, North Carolina that shiny buckle of the Bible Belt, which holds up the britches, by the way. It starts at the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to retract that just for a moment. No, it starts at the houses that make up the house of the Lord. Amen? It begins at home, don't it? Is that where it begins? Is a church not a family of families? You know, and I would hate to think that when Jesus is looking at Hazel, North Carolina, and he looks over there and he sees that himself, how that he died on Calvary, and how that he gave his life, and how that we have treated that fact. I believe he weeps over Hazel, North Carolina. You want to stop alcohol and haze from North Carolina? Save the drunks. Do away with their prospects. That's how you permanently fix anything, by the way. You want to reverse the trend that's happening in Clay County, and you want to set it back like it was 20 years ago for our children today? How do we? Well, first of all, we need to go back and see where we got off track, where we run in the ditch. Let God send the tow truck out, pull you back on the road, start going in the right direction again. You know, one reason that we put up with stuff is because you let it happen. Amen. Jerusalem took the sacred Son of God and hung him on a cross. Jerusalem did. A lot of people says, well, what would happen if Jesus came to Hazel, North Carolina? We'd crucify him. We'd crucify him. What if things change? I want you to look just for a moment. Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. In chapter 27, we find that Herod is interrogating Jesus. And we find over there that in verse 24, and when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood for this just man. See ye to it." And he answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Pilate washed his hands of Jesus and turned him over to the people. Let's make America great again. It's all changed over there, John, when our leaders washed their hands of Jesus and put the blood on the people. It's happened in America, has it not? It's happened on the county level, has it not? It happened over there to the point over there that Jerusalem was destroyed by this fact that the leadership over there washed their hands of Jesus and put the blood on the people and their children. See, I'm going to tell you today, you look at your hands. Look at them. I'd stand here all day. Look at them. You got blood on your hands. See, you and I crucified Christ. You and I drove the pain and the sorrow. See, Jesus Christ would have never went to Calvary if it wasn't for you and I. When I say you and I, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and I'm telling you today that we are guilty of the blood. We're guilty of the blood. Now, what do we do with that? We take responsibility for our actions. Do you know that's what it takes to get saved, by the way? Is to take responsibility for your actions and to realize that I am a sinner, to realize over there I need a Savior, and I realize today that I've got to take responsibility for my actions because I crucified Christ. Say, preacher, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. And I want to share something with you. We got in this in Sunday school this morning. You might have a sin in your life today that you say, just too big for me to get forgiven of. You might have something that you've done down through life, say it's so heinous that there's no way God can forgive me of that. I want to bring you some good news. You don't have to ask God to forgive it because it's already forgiven. I know some of y'all had shock on your eyes. Sin was dealt with at Calvary. 110%. Now all you've got to do is acknowledge what Jesus Christ has already done. Are you with me? See, it was forgiven before you done it. And I say, but you've got to ask Jesus. That's the acknowledgement. That's the thing that, and that's where we're at in America today. That's where we're at in Hayesville, North Carolina today. That's why it's breaking Jesus' heart when he looks over mankind over there and they have rejected what Jesus Christ has already done. The blood be upon us and our children. Listen, I want you to realize today that our children, their children and their children could pay a great price for my sins and your sins. So what do we do about it? We give it away, amen. We give them to Jesus. We ask Jesus to come into our lives today. And I'll tell you, it'll change Clay County and to a point over there that we won't even recognize it again. Clay County's almost becoming unrecognizable now. I remember a few years ago, I used to get in my car and drive to work, and I bet you I wouldn't see two cars. Now it's getting like rush hour out there sometime. I don't know where they put them all. They say we're a county of about 10 or 11,000 people. I see that many at Ingalls sometimes. I don't know where they come from. Listen. Jerusalem took the sacred Son of God and hanged him on a cross. Well, Hayesville, North Carolina did too. We're guilty of the blood. How many folks believe that we're guilty of the blood? How many of y'all believe that your sins were forgiven at Calvary? 100%. How many of you believe over there that the blood is sufficient unto this day? Well, give it away. Give it away. Then we can line the streets. Then we can wave the palms. Then we can cast our clothes down and admonish him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to do the Lord's Supper here in just a few moments. We're going to be taken of the body of Christ, the bread of life. And then we're going to turn and we're going to take the blood. And I'm going to tell you the reason why that we can admonish that as the blood of Christ is because we're all guilty of the blood, as it's represented in the wine. And the Bible says that he that taketh this unworthily is guilty of the blood. Listen, I'm glad today that I don't have to be guilty of the blood because I accepted the blood into my life. I accepted what Jesus Christ has already done in my life. And I'm not guilty of the blood. Oh, you know, the city streets, I believe in Jerusalem, was splattered by the blood of God's only Son. Can you imagine the bloodshed that was caused? And Jesus saw this day, and y'all come and get a song of invitation. Listen, on this Palm Sunday, don't be guilty of the blood. You know, there's very few ways of dealing with a guilty sentence. One way is that you can pull the tithe. Another way, and I tell you, that pulling tithe be tough. I don't know if you ever been locked up in jail. Eddie gets locked up about every week. I don't know what we're going to do with him. But he gets out. But I don't know. You know, that's a hard way of doing it, doing the time. You know, another way that you can get free from guilt is get pardoned. I'm glad I got pardoned, amen. See, I was 100% guilty of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in my life. Why is that? It's because it was my sin. They condemned him. But he came and he gave his life freely that I might receive a pardon. I might receive a pardon. And you know, a pardon is... For a child of God, a heavenly pardon is even greater than an earthly pardon. The word that the Bible uses, we're justified in him. I love that word, justified. Just as if it never happened. That's better than an earthly pardon, ain't it? Hey, listen, we're going to sing. I don't know what God's led you to do. I know that there's someone needs to come up here and lay it all down. There's someone needs to come up here and ask the Lord to come in their life. There's somebody here who has someone that you need to come and on their behalf and petition before God on their behalf. There's some folks over there, I believe, just need to wave their palms. But whatever God has instructed you, I want you to be obedient. Let's sing.
Page 122.
122, if you'll please stand. Y'all may be seated at this time. I asked Eddie and Joe if they would come and help us today. And